8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Wine About a Wednesday. You can win a bottle of Talon wine. We also have a Wrigley Field Carnival Sports Trivia coming up in a little bit. For those that came out to Brackapalooza last night, powered by Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick, thanks for coming out to the warehouse last night. Appreciate you stopping by. And also, you still have time, though, if you didn't fill out your bracket. Old Mr. Baker, hopefully he'll get his bracket filled out. He was wanting us to fill it out for him. And I did make the offer to him, because he's been a longtime P1. Mm-hmm. If he wants to come by the radio station, we'd get him set up to fill out his bracket.
I think you personally said.
I personally said we would take care of that. And the offer still stands.
Mm-hmm. Old Miss Baker, you want to come at Jim? We'll stand over as you fill out your bracket. You'll watch.
Make sure you
do it right.
Make sure you get your bracket filled out. Not going to advise him. Just going to get him.
No, he's not going to advise him on his picks.
No, right. I just say, here, you're set
click
up.
Click here.
Do that. There you go. Yep. And now tiebreaker, put score in.
Yep.
Boop, there you go. But if you didn't get your bracket in for Brackapalooza, you can still do it until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, by the way. Our show is going to be shorter the next 2 days because of the tournament pregame show. So we'll be on from 7 to 9 the next 2 days. But full three today. We've got Tom Hudson, Gonzaga voice coming up at 9:20 this morning. So we'll talk more about the NCAA basketball tournament. But to get your bracket in for Brackapalooza, like I said, you still got time to make that happen until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And by going to the team1340.com. So go there and make it happen, okay? If you have not already, don't forget that grand prize this year, pizza for a year, courtesy of Smoke and Oak Wood-Fired Pizza and Tap Room in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. Second place, I believe it's an Audio Techniques turntable from Triple Play Records, 530 Main Street. And with that, when you get the turntable, you win it.
Mm-hmm.
10% off vinyl for life.
Nice.
Rock and Matt. That's their deal on any turntable that you buy. It's a fantastic deal they have.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, if you're getting into disc golf, it's a place to go as well. And then third place, pest control for your home from Chrome Pest Control. So get all the details. Get signed up if you have not already at the team1340.com for Brackapalooza, powered by Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick. Thanks to all those sponsors. Also, a big thank you to the warehouse last night for letting us sit in the stadium area last
yeah.
night and enjoy
hang out.
Enjoy some of the first night of the first four. Of course, our coverage will continue today, pregame at 4:30 for Montana State, Grambling State, and then it's Colorado and Boise State. Enjoyed talking with Mark Johnson from Dayton earlier this morning. And of course, we had Brian Roth on yesterday as well before the Rams' victory last night over Virginia. So text or call us today. Let's see. Went to take in recycling. I know our neighbors are now into having the multiple trash cans where they put the recycling in. We still just take it in because we don't live terribly far from where the recycling place is. But I know so you go to the recycling place and they have the dumpsters there lined up. I don't know if you've been there, Buckeye, but just giving it a sense. You pull up and you pull up next to the dumpsters and there's dumpsters for the plastic and for the glass and all the different products that you can recycle. Two things that always drives me crazy when I go there. Number one, you have these spots where you can pull in, unload your stuff. And inevitably, somebody will be at the front, and they'll park, like, between two spots. Like, they take up two spots, where all they needed to do is pull all the way up into the first spot.
Mm-hmm.
It goes boom, 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 boom. You know, just one spot after another, in single file. Why don't pull all the way to the front spot, you dummy? Why are you picking up two spots? And there's always this, well, there was nobody here when I got here. Well, and it seems like it, always the case when I go there, there's like two people there, and then 30 seconds later, the place is, everybody makes some mad rush to the recycling place.
Yeah.
Why, I don't know. It could be a Wednesday afternoon, and they'll still do that. Just pull all the way up to the front, or just park in a spot. Just park in one of the spots. Okay? Just park in a parking spot. That's all I ask. Simple as that. It's not tough to do. It's not rocket science.
The thing I have come to realize more and more in the last 3 years is the old joke of, it's your world, bro. We're just living in it.
Yeah. It's,
applies to everybody now, it feels, to an extent. And I know that's a generalization. We'll get somebody on the text.
Not everybody.
I am always the first. I stop at a four-way stop. I'm first. And I let everybody else go.
We all screw up.
Well, you're also, you know.
We all have moments where we screw up.
It's nice to be polite, but go in the order you're supposed to go. If you get there first, you get to go first. Don't make everybody else go through.
Yeah, my thought is this, that, okay, there's nobody there but you.
Yeah.
When you get there, still park in a spot because you don't know how long before somebody else shows up.
But that's how they live their life.
Yeah.
There's no one else here but me.
So it doesn't matter. And then the other thing that just drives me crazy is that there's the colored glass and the clear glass at the dumpster when you take your recyclables back. So they have like a little metal stand there where you can set your glass on it and sort your glass.
Yeah.
It never fails that somebody... They might have like five bottles of whatever. Maybe it's some Delon wine bottles, whatever they get. But it's like this process of analyzing whether or not they should, almost like they're not sure they should put the bottle in the dumpster.
Right.
You brought it to recycle. They'll pick it up and look at it and stare at it. It's like, yes, that's clearly colored glass.
Mm-hmm.
That goes in the colored glass side of the dumpster. Put it in there. And sometimes it's older folks, and I probably shouldn't be this way, but there's this tendency to overanalyze whether or not it's supposed to go in either which side, or almost like I said, they're not sure they want to get rid of that bottle because it looks so darn pretty. Throw it in the damn dumpster and move along, okay? That's what you're here for.
This is the sorting facility, right?
This is where you bring it there, and you
should... conceivably also probably sort that for you too a little bit too. Just dump it in there. Let's go.
Yeah,
there's people that work here.
They prefer you not do that.
It's like using a self checkout. Target's not paying me to work here, so I'm gonna go to the person.
It's as simple as sitting right. The dumpster, it's divided. And it's simple as throwing the left or throwing the right. It's not like you have to go all the way down to another dumpster. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
It's divided down the middle of the dumpster.
Just chuck it all in the same one.
No, don't do that. Don't. I know that's...
It's all going to the same place anyway, probably.
Yeah, I think there's reasons why, and I don't know for certain, but there's a reason why they...
I could very well be making
colored glass, and it's clear glass, so they do not want to mix those two together when they recycle them. I think that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, because then all you end up with is brown glass. I took a painting class, so, you know, you mix the red and the blue and the green all together, it's brown. Not everybody loves the color brown.
No, you do, but not everybody else does.
But, you know, browns and grays.
But one final complaint about recycling, going to the recycling place, is that the people that it's, once again, it's this, it's like they're not sure what they're supposed to be putting in the dumpster or whatever. They take it out of the car and they look at it and stare at it like they're not sure why they're there for a moment. It's the plastic goes in with the plastic and the metal. The glass goes in the glass dumpster, clear and the colored glass. It's not that hard to figure out, people. This is, I sometimes like.
It's the hoarders what it is. It's like, am I sure I want to get rid of this?
Yeah, is that the case that we have a bunch of hoarders that aren't sure they want to get rid of old plastic soda bottles?
I might need this at some point. I've seen the Howard Hughes movie. I might need this bottle.
I might need it for some craft project.
Yeah.
When the holiday
Something
season
else.
Rolls around.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Might need it for storage, you could say.
Drive through. Storage.
You've seen Howard.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You never know, right?
You never really know.
You're going to have a bottle close by.
Yeah.
Sometimes making it to the facility just is not an option.
Right. Either for want to or need to. You just
whatever.
Yep.
But you got your bases covered with your plastic soda bottle sitting right there. Just make sure you don't get it confused with what maybe you're drinking out of. I don't know.
That's why the Mountain Dew bottles
are
green.
It's got a little wang to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wow, Mountain Dew's a little spicy.
Ooh, wow. What's up with that? All right, 810. Text or call us today on the team line. 702-42-1340. you could win a bottle of sealed Talon wine with one of their fine products. From the reds to the whites. The other ones, the thing we're talking about, no, that's not what they do. They don't roll that way with Talon wine. All right, 8:10, and let's dive into Around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so we had a lot going on yesterday. Mason men's basketball, first four, CSU playing. Your reaction, Buckeye, to the Jerry Jeudy deal.
Great.
Three-year extension, $58 million.
It's like apparently the Haslams don't really care about the salary cap. It's more of a suggestion than a hard cap, it feels, because they're giving a lot of money to players that aren't really going to contribute.
I just, Sean Watson,
Jerry Jeudy. It just feels like again, I say this every year. There's no way you can be this dumb on accident.
I could see trading for him, and I could see they give up, a fifth and a sixth. Okay. But you're already... Did they learn anything from what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson? I mean, not that this is Russell Wilson numbers, but maybe see what you've got first before you do this.
That's just
my thought. It's like maybe for a guy that never cracked 1,000 yards receiving in his career, that's a lot of money to throw at a guy that is yet to have really good, consistent production in this league.
I know he's going to be the third option at the highest, the third option.
Yeah.
Behind Amari Cooper and the Chief, David Njoku. And that's before Nick Chubb maybe comes back from injury. I know Nyheim Hines or something. They signed him maybe, I think, in free agency. They signed a running back in free agency somewhere. They got him. And so, you know, all that to make Jerry Jeudy kind of your number three receiving option. That's a lot of money for a number three receiving option.
And an unproven guy. Guy, like you said, is
at like north of $19 million a year for, you're right, a total underwhelming wide receiver.
Once again, it's about the potential. Potential is such an ugly word. He's great route runner. He's got great speed, blah, blah. But he failed to, like I said, come up with a 1,000-yard receiving season in Denver. Mm-hmm. At times could be productive in the red zone. At times. But, geez, Cleveland.
What are you doing?
What are you doing there? Also, as we continue around the NFL, this has become a little bit of a theme for the Broncos in free agency. I'm going to go someplace else. Okay, I changed my mind. I'm going to stay here. Well, Lutz did that. Remember, he's going to go to Jacksonville and decided to resign with Denver. Same with Justin Sternad, who, according to all reports, was the Broncos linebacker, special teams player, was going to sign with the Carolina Panthers, go play for a Juro Vero like Josie Jewell did. Well, apparently, he changed his mind and resigned with the Broncos on a one-year deal. I guess they were close. I mean, Carolina and him were close to getting the deal done and decided to stay with the Broncos. I'm not sure how this looks for Denver, where guys look like they're going to leave, two of them. Then they have a change of heart and decide to stay in Denver. What was the conversation that the Broncos have with Sternad and Lutz that changed their minds?
That's the question.
And if it was so great, if you love playing there to begin with, then why were you thinking about going someplace else anyway? I don't know. He's back. It's once again, we're talking about Will Lutz, the kicker, and backup linebacker and special teams guy Justin Sternad, who has never lived up to the expectations of going to be inside linebacker and cover tight ends. He's got the athleticism. He dealt with some injury issues early on in his career.
He can't stay on the field for a full season.
But you do not hear about him. Hey, he's going to be in the mix to be a starting inside linebacker now that Josie Jewell's gone. No, he's going to be he's a backup that will play on special teams. And that's where what troubles me is that we're talking free agency And this is the kind of stuff we're talking about with the Broncos right now. Kickers and special teams guys.
Who re-signed because that was their best option.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened with Sternad in Carolina where you think, okay, maybe he's following the Josie Jewell thing of the Jiro Vero's guy he wants to play for. Maybe I can go there and get my best football. He can bring up my best football in a scheme that I like. And he kind of thought that because that's why Josie Jewell decided to go to Carolina, because that's a dumpster fire.
Right.
Not that Denver's looking a whole lot better these days. Anyway, for those of you
that... And they were 6 wins better.
They'll love Justin Sternad. He's back, baby.
Yeah.
He's
back.
Running
back.
Also, Broncos unofficial mouthpiece, 9 News' Mike Kliss, wrote that the Broncos seem to be leaning toward giving quarterback Jarrett Stidham the edge as the number one quarterback and also using their 12th overall pick to take their quarterback for the future.
That's great. Give him an edge over who, exactly?
And now that looks
who
like...
Who does Jarrett Stidham have to beat out this year? Right now, before the draft.
Ben DiNucci?
Mission accomplished. Let's, you know, like, oh, they're going to give him the edge. That's fantastic. He's alone in the room. He should be able to win the job at this point. Now, they need to go through the draft and everything else, but essentially, he's the only guy that's going to be getting any reps right now if they were to, you know, have a pickup practice. He's the only quarterback. Ben DiNucci, come on.
Like, and nobody expected the Broncos to go out and be, I think George Payton was right, we're going to be huge spenders in free agency. But wow.
But I didn't expect them to Jeff Breidich it.
Exactly. And
like, offer CJ Krohn a minor league invite. Yeah. And that worked out. But that was all they did 1 year in free agency. They signed one guy to a minor league invite. The Broncos are on that track right now. Kickers and special teamers.
Yeah.
Like, not even gunners.
And so Nick Hosmander in The Athletic, he's writing about where things are going with this, particularly with the Broncos quarterback search. Feeling is if Denver can't make a deal they deem as a reasonable deal to trade up without giving up a lot, that they're going to probably stay at 12, and they'll probably take somebody like Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Florida State. Or maybe they'll take Brock Bowers, the tight end, and that they're going to sit if they can't get the guy they want. Now the question becomes, who is that guy? Is that guy truly J.J. McCarthy? Because the Vikings he's met with the Vikings or will meet with the Vikings, I believe. And so there's a feeling that the Vikings, who own the number 11 and 23 picks, have the ability to trade up and get McCarthy if they feel like he's going to go sooner than that. Because Caleb Williams is going to go to the Bears. Drake May, Jaden Daniels, one of those two guys could end up going to the Commanders with the second pick. And it could be boom, boom, boom. Three quarterbacks maybe gone in the first 3-4 picks. And so McCarthy would be the fourth quarterback taken. But then what if Bo Nix is at 12? Does Denver take Bo Nix? We don't know how much Sean Payton likes or dislikes Bo Nix. We don't know that at this point in time. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. falls there. Is this going to turn into it's J.J. McCarthy or nobody else? Because it's starting to feel a little bit like that. And I'm not sure. I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. I'm looking at the top 12 or the top 11 ahead of the Broncos. There's 7 teams in there that could draft a quarterback. And that's holding out the Titans and the Falcons. Bears, obviously. Commanders, Patriots.
Because Falcons could draft a quarterback to be the eventual replacement to Kirk Cousins, because it's not like Kirk Cousins is going to play forever.
I don't think the Cardinals will. Don't think the Chargers will. When we talked yesterday with the lunatic Jim Harbaugh, there's no telling. Giants at 6, maybe.
Probably. Yeah, I think there's a decent chance.
Titans at 7.
Probably not.
Probably not, but new head coach.
Never know.
This guy didn't pick Will Levis. There's no telling. The guy to pick up after Kirk Cousins, At 8 for the Falcons? Maybe. Bears? I don't think so at 9.
No, because they'll if it's going to be Williams, then they're done with that.
So you got Jets, Vikings. So a soft 7.
Jets, maybe.
Maybe. Vikings, maybe. Probably.
And the feeling is that Kevin O'Connell really likes J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Sean Payton.
So you're looking Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Giants, Jets, Vikings, 5, with the Falcons and the Titans as question marks.
As maybes.
So 7 of the 10 teams ahead of you? 7 of the 11 picks? There's only really 6 to go around in the first 2 tiers. Then, like, there's no way you're drafting Spencer Rattler 12th.
No, no. You're going to wait till day 2.
Maybe.
Yeah, for a guy like Rattler.
You know. And so it's
there's
like
the Pratt kid from Tulane. And to me, they have to draft a quarterback somewhere in the first couple of rounds.
They're going to have to draft one, but I don't know if there's a guy here with the mixture of the for sure ability to play in the NFL and the Broncos' ability to go up and get whoever that is. Like, you may feel whatever you feel about Jaden Daniels and Drake May and Caleb Williams about their can't-miss prospects, right? Broncos don't have, I think, the firepower to get up to take any one of those 3. So now you're looking at Penix, Nix, and McCarthy. I don't know if any of those 3 are can't-miss. And then do you want to mortgage whatever draft pick capital you have to go up and get those guys? It's looking increasingly more like they may be left out of the quarterback draft carousel in the first round.
It's starting to look that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in particular, if they want J.J. McCarthy.
If you trade up and draft J.J. McCarthy, you better know something that nobody else knows outside of Jim Harbaugh.
Well, you better be damn sure.
Yeah. And even that might not be enough because I just don't know. I don't see it. I personally don't see it.
I don't either. Like I said, I've slightly warmed to the idea of McCarthy, but not trading a first-round pick for 2025 to get up to get him. I just think that's a fool's errand on the part of the Broncos if they do that. And a good piece, we won't dig through it entirely because there's a lot to sort through. Joe Mahoney on Mile High Report about defining the Sean Payton quarterback. And he goes through all the quarterbacks that he has coached going back to when he was with the Eagles as their quarterbacks coach. And he had Ty Detmer to the Kerry Collins era when he was with the Giants as their offensive coordinator. Dallas when Quincy Carter was the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about the old QC.
And then, of course, the long, successful run with Drew Brees. And it just kind of talks about some of the numbers of what Drew Brees did in terms of his success rate on third down. He got Drew Brees when he was 27. And he was a very experienced quarterback. Quarterback that was damaged goods at that point in time, too.
Yeah, and so there's, and we're 17 years later almost. I still don't know how much credit to give Sean Payton for Drew Brees or vice versa. I still really don't know. Like, Drew Brees is great on third down. How much of that did Sean Payton have anything to do with? How much of the brain and the arm of Drew Brees was able to make that happen?
Well, one of the things that he goes through a lot of different next-gen stats here, but one of the things that comes up, this is kind of the indictment on Russell Wilson of being a, quote, Sean Payton quarterback, thrown from the pocket, quick decision-making, was time to throw.
Mm-hmm.
Russ is among the worst in the league in terms of time to throw. And that is running around, not making the decision.
Yeah.
Nick Mullins was behind him. And new Steeler quarterback, Justin Fields.
That was their designed play call, though, in Chicago. It's, can you run around and make something happen?
Go make something happen, Justin.
Yeah, we're not going to block anybody, so there's going to be at least four defenders behind you if you break containment.
So a lot of this breaks down where it's kind of a, it's in a way, it's somewhat helpful, but in some ways, a lot of this is comparing Drew Brees to Russell Wilson. And I get he's trying to create the idea of this is what Peyton wants.
Which, they're comparable in the fact they're both under 6 feet and they're right-handed. Other than that, they wore single-digit jersey numbers. Other than that, they're really not that similar. Drew Brees was mobile. Russ could run.
Russ played a bigger role in the quarterback run game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Drew Brees, you didn't see them. They didn't run a lot of they didn't run RPO stuff and quarterback sweeps and.
You never heard, we got to get Drew Brees out of the pocket.
Drew Brees would move around the pocket, change his throwing platform, could throw on the move when they designed it with waggles and boots, where Russ created. And that also occasionally would get Russ into trouble, too.
And look, you give Russ Michael Thomas, his numbers be pretty damn good, too.
Yeah.
And I love Drew Brees.
Jimmy Graham. When Jimmy Graham was really good.
Yeah. But Jimmy Horn, right?
Joe Horn. Yeah, that Joe Horn. Stuff. That's okay.
Yeah, they had some, period Horn.
Yeah, there was some talent there.
Mm-hmm. Alvin Kamara.
Ed Ingram there, toting the rock. So a pretty good running game at times.
Yeah.
So it's maybe not. I understand what he's trying to accomplish. It's trying to establish what Sean Payton's looking for. But they're also two very different types of players as well. One final thing this morning. It's a pro day, University of Texas, and Quinn Ewers is going to be throwing.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going, wait a minute. He's not eligible for the draft yet. Well, he's still going to go out there and throw anyway to show people what he can do when teams start looking at him next year.
How's he not eligible for the draft? He's been in college for 4 years.
Says he's not draft eligible. Enters his third year of college. Entered his third year of college in 2023. Played Ohio State in 2021 before transferring to Texas.
What's it, 21?
Yeah.
I felt like that was in the pandemic. Like, earlier.
May say 2021 here. Huh. So.
Oh, he enrolled early. That's what.
Yeah. So not eligible right now. So he's the first player who's received a seven-figure NIL deal. So, Quinn Ewers in a spot where, hey, if it doesn't work out in the NFL, he's still going to probably be okay when it's all said and done. All right, 8:28, Jim along with the Buckeye boy. Got some thoughts about CSU coming up, the big win last night, destroying Virginia in the first four. Colorado gets Boise State tonight here on the team. Unfortunately, Maverick men's basketball team loses last night to West Texas A&M. Still an incredible year for Mike DeGeorge and the Maverick men. Got some thoughts, share it with us today on the team line, 970-242-1340. All right, Connor McGahee coming up in a couple of minutes. Let's go ahead and play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia today. Shall we do that?
Yeah.
We have the music.
Let me find it here. I should have grabbed it, but I was not ready because still new. It's my first week.
Come on, Rook.
Yeah.
Let's get it going. All right, of course, it's brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar. The home of the $15 lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplazio Field. Right, yesterday we heard the sad news about the death of former Avs player Chris Simon at the age of 52. Which team originally drafted Chris Simon? Now, I'm not going to do multiple choice today. Which team originally drafted Chris Simon? You go on to play for Quebec. And then, of course, the Avalanche. And then a lot of other teams. So which team originally drafted Chris Simon, the late Avalanche player? Can first correct answer today, you win the gift certificate to Wrigley Field. Send your answer in right now on the team line. That's 970-242-1340, 970-242-1340. Which team originally drafted Chris Simon? of the Avalanche. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Connor McGahee will join us, Avs, with a night. Once again, great road win. Taking down St. Louis last night. Mikko Rantanen a big night. The Moose was loose last night. We'll have that coming up in just a little bit. On the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, it's Whine About Wednesday. If you got something to complain about today, get it to us on the team line, 970-242-1340.
I like sports.
Sports.
Sports. This is the Jim Davis Show on the team, 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction, 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
It's 834, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Coming up, Connor McGahee had the call on the Avalanche, beating St. Louis last night. Seven straight win for Colorado, by the way. Incredible road trip for the Avalanche. I mean, going north of the border, winning at Calgary, winning at Vancouver, winning at Edmonton, and then last night getting the win against St. Louis. So we'll have Connor McGahee joining us in just a few minutes. Still looking for... We might have... the correct answer, but we're not sure.
It looks like it's a win. I don't know why I just texted this person his own name.
It's okay. So we do have a winner.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Jim correctly identifying the Flyers, the Philadelphia Flyers, part of the Eric Lindros trade.
Which led to what, 14 players?
14. You want the list?
Yeah, give me the list.
All right, so part of this deal was Steve Duchesne, no relation to Matt Duchesne. Duchesne was traded to the Blues to acquire Ron Sutter. Sutter was traded to the Islanders for Joey Krupp. And a first-round pick.
Game-winning goal.
Yes.
That first cup victory.
The Islanders' first-round pick, which the Avs acquired, was used to select Wade Belak. Belak was traded to the Flames for Chris Dingman. So that's just Duchesne. And then Peter Forsberg was part of that trade. The other part of the trade was Ron Hextall. He was traded to the Islanders in 93 to acquire the first round pick in 93. That was used to select Adam Deadmarsh.
Detter,
who was then traded for Rob Blake and Steve Reinprecht. So there's three players to win two Stanley Cups for Ron Hextall. And Kerry Huffman didn't do much of anything. Mike Ricci was part of that trade as well. He helped the
greasy hair, Mike Ricci.
Big swollen nose. He won the 96 Cup. He was traded to the Sharks in 97 for a first-round pick, which was used to select Alex Tanguay. Then Chris Simon. He was traded to the Capitals in 96 to acquire Keith Jones. Keith Jones was traded back to Philadelphia for Sean Podine, 2001 Stanley Cup winner. They got Philadelphia's first-round pick in 93. They selected Jocelyn Thibault, who was traded to the Canadiens for Mike Keane and Pat Roy.
Mike Keane, good little player for the Avalanche.
Pat Roy, pretty solid veteran. Backstop. Just
Keane's
never
a good veteran guy.
Yeah. Roy could never break through.
Nope.
Just never really did anything with his career. And they also got Philadelphia's first round pick in 94. They traded that to the Leafs to select Wendell Clark, Sylvain Lefebvre, and Landon Wilson. Lefebvre helped win the cup in 96. Clark was traded to the Islanders for Claude Lemieux. Claude Lemieux was traded to the Devils to get Brian Rolston. Rolston was traded to the Bruins to acquire Ray Bourque. There you go. 14 guys from the Eric Lindros trade helped the Avs win two Stanley Cups. And I think they were going through that, the tentacles of that trade through all the teams that they did this. I think there's one or two guys still playing 2 years ago when I read the article that were tentacles of the Eric Lindros trade. Yes. Nobody talks about the Lindros trade. Everybody talks Herschel Walker.
Yeah, Walker and the Cowboys and how that built the Cowboys Super Bowl championship teams. But for the Avalanche, Chris Simon, part of that whole thing. But we'll talk with Connor McGahee about the passing of Chris Simon coming up. But anyway, so Jim today is wins with our Wrigley Field Colorado Sports trivia question and also is into the never-ending contest with Handy Home Services. They'll replace your existing cooling equipment, swap out your old swamp cooler or AC condensing unit. You must own your own home. It's $5,000 value. Get details at the team1340.com. All right, just got one or two texts I want to get to. Connor McGahee coming up in just a moment on this Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. From Dylan, feel like I'm always whining about traffic because I am, but will never understand why every road has to be a NASCAR track. Motorcycle, weaving, tailgating, throwing hands, flipping the bird. I just don't get it. If everyone would take 5 minutes and be patient, did the Browns overpay for Jerry Jeudy?
Yes.
Yes on both things there, by the way.
Yes, they
on
did.
Both. From Brian this morning. Little shout out to Coach Clement at Vista Peak. That was a couple weeks ago. Pardon me. That was when Keenan Clement and
that was a month ago.
John Rakeski, yes. As I said, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, a little bit ago.
Let's go Rams. Great win last night. See you losing to Boise tonight. Mountain West teams are strong and ticked off.
Yeah. They might be, but.
All right. So we'll take a break. Coming up next, Connor McGahee will join us. Had the call last night on the Avalanche, taking down the Blues. Avs on the 7-game winning streak. And all the pieces starting to fall into place for the Avalanche to maybe make a run at the Cup again. We'll talk with Connor coming up next. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's your morning sports and more. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on the Team.
8:43, and with us right now, radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Connor, good morning. How you doing, my friend?
Doing okay, Jimmy. I've returned to the land of the lost. I feel like Charlton Heston in the Land of the Apes. I didn't recognize the planet that I returned to, being gone so long.
Did you happen to see Marshall, Will, and Holly, by the way, since we're mixing Land of the Lost reference there? I know we're mixing Planet of the Apes and Land of the Lost, and they're not the same.
I was just trying to do all the you know, the 60s dystopian references, but life is shockingly the same when I return from distant parts unknown.
Well, hopefully you didn't encounter either apes or sleestacks, on your journeys. Hopefully that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, there's a very known sleestack colony in and around Edmonton that we had to avoid.
Well, that's good. That's good. But you know what, though? They always had those little, really crappy little crossbows that never shot more than about 3 feet. So,
right.
kind of like the zombies in Walking Dead. You just have to run fast enough. I mean, they're not going to catch you, and they weren't going to hit you with those little crossbows. So you're safe. You're okay.
We're okay. Even I can escape the sleep stack.
I'm glad to hear that. I think I could probably escape one too. I think I'm.
Yeah, you're in good shape. Don't worry.
I appreciate that. I guess now that we're through with the grab assery on the program this morning and having
it's
fun.
The best part. It's the best part of the whole interview. No one cares about anything else.
I think so too. I think it's the best part as well. I could do this all day with you, man. But
me too.
But we do have to talk some actual Avalanche news, and fortunately, I have to change the tone here to a sad story with Chris Simon passing away at the age of 52. I remember we had Chris Simon on our program years and years and years ago when he's playing for the Avalanche. And I think we talked fishing with him that day and some other stuff. But some really sad news for longtime Avalanche fans that Chris Simon passing away.
Well, and you know what he did with his day with the Cup is he took it fishing.
Yeah.
Of course. And he loved it. I mean, he only played for the Avalanche 1 year, but they won the Cup. And like I posted yesterday, I said he was part of the team that made me fall in love with the game. And I'm sure that's the case for so many other people around this state, around this region. Chris Simon was identifiable for so many reasons. I mean, he's so big, the hair out of the back. And the amount of people in the league at that time who could take on a Bob Probert or a Ty Domi. We were watching the Domi-Simon fight from McNichols Arena before the game in St. Louis last night. And you just, tough as nails is Chris Simon. But he also had a scoring touch. I mean, he led the Washington Capitals and Colts 1 year with 29. So he was a heck of a hockey player. But his family releasing a statement this morning saying that CTE did, they strongly believe that it had a strong effect on him. And an unfortunate end, just like Derek Bugard, Wade Belak, Steve Montador, and we mentioned Probert too, most likely. All those guys are in the same boat, something that we've seen over the years that is the the dark side of the game that we love a lot. And it breaks my heart to know, and it's not just Chris Simon, but anybody who is at that point in their life where they're in such despair that that is the only option, is so sad. So I've said this a couple times in the last 24 hours or so. Don't be afraid to reach out. And on the flip side, check in on your friends and family and people too, because that could go a long way. So Chris Simon was just a force in this league for over a decade, a part of the Eric Lindros trade and a part of Avalanche history. And it's a sad day for all of us.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you're spot on with reaching out to those you feel like are struggling mentally. Buckeye Boy just went through the Chris Simon trade, Eric Lindros, and that trade, and what a big impact he had on the Avalanche. Yeah. And other teams as well in regard to winning the Stanley Cups that they won previously. Connor McGahee joining us today on the program. This current edition of the Avalanche, they're looking to get back to win another Stanley Cup, and another big win for the Avalanche on the road, St. Louis, and after, of course, the job they did up north of the border, going to Calgary, coming from behind to win, Vancouver down 3-0 in the second period, coming back to win, the win against Edmonton, which I know Nathan MacKinnon said that one had meant a little bit more to Mac and the Avalanche because of facing the Oilers and Connor McDavid and that team and that caliber of competition. Then they beat the Blues last night. This is 7 straight wins for the Avalanche, Connor, and they're on a roll right now.
Yeah, and the 23 come from behind victories now, most in the NHL, most in franchise history in a single season. When they won the Cup in 21-22 and in 2000-2001, they also had 22 excuse me, come from behind victories. So that's just been, you know, to quote Tim Allen from Galaxy Quest, never give up, never surrender, and that is exactly what the Avalanche I have done for most of the year. And the new acquisitions have contributed. The old acquisitions, Val Nichushkin, we'll call them that. I mean, the Avalanche are 31-9 and something with him in the lineup. He's such a difference maker. Arturi Lehkonen, the same thing. So the team is now on the ice, for the most part, the way that it's supposed to be set up on paper. And nobody has disappointed. Existing roster, new additions, and the power play has come to life. They have 11 power play goals for the last 11 games, 60 now in the season. That's the most power play goals in the National Hockey League, and so special teams has helped fuel the 7-game win streak as well. The Avalanche haven't allowed a power play goal since the trade deadline. So the new acquisitions have helped the penalty kill unit out tremendously, which is saying a lot considering you went up against Vancouver, one of the other highest scoring teams in the NHL. Same with the Edmonton Oilers when you keep Connor McDavid off the score sheet, Leon Draisaitl. So it's not winning against Anaheim and San Jose. It's beaten some of the big boys in tough places to play. And there's a lot to hang your hat on right now for the Colorado Avalanche.
And Mikko Rantanen with a hat trick last night, the 7th of his career. And he's got 37 goals this season. He got 14 points in the last 6 games for the Moose. I mean, he has just been, like the rest of the Avalanche, he's been on fire.
Yeah, he has. And now, I mean, you're talking about 35-plus goals. The first goal last night was number 35. So now you're mentioned in with Peter Stastny, Michel Goulet, Nathan MacKinnon is consecutive seasons with 35 plus. That's now 3 for him. Joe Sakic never did that. This is what Mikko Rantanen has become. And I know he had his 11 game point streak snapped in Edmonton in that tough game, but he right back in the saddle. And apparently the Avalanche love to score hat tricks at Enterprise Center. You think of the Nazem Kadri. Won in the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs, and of course Mikko last night. But the Avs have won 5 straight in St. Louis now, first time they've done that in 22 years. And so it was a tougher game, and And St. Louis played great, but Mikko Rantanen helped will the Avs to victory. As some of the Blues people told us afterwards, they said, you know, as good as we played, great teams find a way to win, and that's exactly what you guys are.
Yeah, the Avalanche, they've outscored opponents on this trip 31-13, and that's pretty good. And also pretty good, Eustace Annan, 30 saves last night. Give me your take on, once again, another, I think, they win 4-3, but Annan continues to show that he, I think, could very well be the answer to backing up Georgie.
Yep, and he didn't look as good as he did in his, I would say, previous three games. But anytime you're making 30 saves on a team like St. Louis, who had the other longest win streak in the NHL up until that point, that qualifies you. So it wasn't this epic performance that we had seen prior, but again, it's enough to get the win. And so he gets two wins on the road trip. Georgiev gets two wins on the road trip. And that's the sort of balance you're looking for in between the pipes going down the stretch. And so on in 4-0 in his last four starts, numbers are good. And the team in front of him reflects his play in between the pipes.
Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, joining us in the program. And Jaron Bednar said this last night too, Connor, that that the new guys have made some major contributions. Mm-hmm. For example, Casey Mittelstadt scores a goal for the Avalanche last night, a guy they picked up in the deal with Buffalo, and Bowen Byram going there. And so those guys continue, the Sean Walkers, those players continue to make their presence felt, even though it's only been just a couple of games into their stint with the Avs.
Yeah, Walker, two goals versus Edmonton. That's his first career multi-goal game. Almost had a hat trick to win it in overtime. And I was walking out of morning skate yesterday with him in St. Louis, and we were joking. I said, what happened there? Shockingly, he goes, I'm not even kidding. Puck must have rolled on me because I don't think I would miss that bad. I think it did, looking back at replays. But his style of play fits perfectly. A good defender, excellent skater, right-handed shot, which is important. Casey Mittelstadt, a four-game point streak, two goals, two assists. He's a +5 in his five games with Colorado. And it's just been everything you could ask for. 16 goals now on the season is a new career high for him. I know, obviously, 14 of those coming with the Sabres, but his defense has been underrated. He's reliable. He's got some of the best hands, frankly, that I've seen in a long time, and he's exactly what the Avalanche needed to find a second line, and they have that now with the return of Arturi Lehkonen. Trennan and Duhame, that's just a lot of meat, and they're tough to play against. Trennan pretty good from the dot. He and Duhame also has some skill as well, so everybody has done exactly what they were brought here to do. Trennan and Duhame are hitting machines, and again, they caused some chaos and caused some scoring chances. I mean, Trennan had four shots in that game versus the Vancouver Canucks. Didn't get the luck to get the puck to go in, but that was the second most on the team in Vancouver last Wednesday night. So everything is going how we have foreseen, to paraphrase the Emperor for Empire Strikes Back.
Very good. Avalanche Blue Jackets coming up on Friday. You got something, Buckeye?
Real quick before we go, going to test Connor's Avalanche history knowledge.
Oh, no.
Do you know the last active Avs player tied directly to the Eric Lindros trade?
Let's see. The last active Avs player tied directly to the Eric Lindros trade.
Yes.
Boy, because it would have been the two first-round picks that they got. From Philadelphia, right?
It's a ways down the way. It's a ways down the way from the original trade, but he can be tied directly.
Interesting. I'm fascinated. I don't think I'm going to get it. Please tell me.
Father also played for the organization.
Hmm.
That would be one Paul Stastny.
Paul Stastny. How about that?
It's five draft pick trades or five trades down the line, but it is tied back to essentially the Rob Blake trade.
That is a fantastic piece of trivia.
There you go.
Good job, Buckeye. Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks, avalanchedb.com, for that.
And you know, you mentioned Galaxy Quest, by the way. I'm so glad that Hans Gruber was able to go into witness protection and turn into Dr. Lazarus. I'm glad to see that.
I mean, by Grabtar's hammer.
Yes. I love that movie, by the way.
I do too. It's so good. If you haven't seen Galaxy Quest, it is worth it. It's brilliant.
It's some brilliant stuff. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Connor, appreciate it, man. As always, thank you.
You bet, boys. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. All right, Connor McGahey with us. A little bit of everything.
Yep.
As always.
You nerds.
Planet of the Apes. Galaxy Quest.
Empire.
Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit of everything with Connor McGahey. All right. Text or call the show today, 970-242-1340. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. We'll take a break and come back with Hour 3. Gonzaga Voice, Tom Hudson joins us next hour.